Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2146 with a release date of Friday, December 14, 2018, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Trouble for AMSAT NA's latest Fox 1 satellite, a case of QSL card deja vu, and a few holiday surprises to brighten your spirits. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2146 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
We open this week's report with discouraging news for satellite enthusiasts who are looking forward to the commissioning of the newly launched Fox 1 Cliff / AO95 CubeSat. Newsline reported last week that AMSAT North America was preparing for it to become its fourth Fox 1 amateur radio satellite. AMSAT's Vice President of Engineering Jerry Buxton, N0JY, announced that problems with the receiver discovered during the commissioning process has put an end to those plans. The commissioning process began on Tuesday, the 4th of December, but is now at an end. Jerry issued a statement on December 9th saying, quote, "Many of you have probably built a project and had to troubleshoot it on your bench. We are in a troubleshooting situation here with the additional challenge of being 600 kilometers away from our bench," end quote. Meanwhile, he said engineers will continue to evaluate what happened. In this season of giving and sharing, one ham radio club in North Carolina changed a holiday tradition and spread some needed cheer. Paul Brown, WD9GCO, has that story.
In local disasters, national emergencies, and even extreme weather events, ham's efforts at helping almost always shine. In Gaston County, North Carolina, that was also the case recently when the Gaston County Amateur Radio Society decided that they would make a difference, not by what they did, but by what they did not do. The hams have a tradition of hosting a gift exchange at their annual holiday party, and it has come to be expected. This year, however, was different. When the group gathered for their festivities on Monday, December 3rd, hams like Pat, N4DOX, and Cy, K1CY, had already made a decision where their gift money was going to go. They donated it instead to the empty stocking fund operated by the local newspaper, the Gaston Gazette. Cy told the newspaper, quote, "The idea was to do something for someone else. There really is a big need out there," end quote. The funds raised by the amateurs will be given to the Salvation Army, who will purchase clothes, toys, and food for holiday meals for families and local seniors. According to the newspaper, this is one of many gestures the radio club has made in the county, where they are always ready to respond to emergencies, large and small. The newspaper wrote in its December 4th article, quote, "The match between the Gaston County Amateur Radio Society and the Salvation Army is a good one. Both are ready to pitch in and help when needed," end quote. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Another holiday tradition, this one involving a historic transmitter, will be back on the air in Sweden as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Christmas Eve morning will bring coffee, cake and CW for radio enthusiasts who will be gathering at Sweden's World Heritage Grimeton radio station for an annual tradition, the tuning up of the Alexanderson 200 kilowatt transmitter, a relic from 1924. They send out a Christmas message in CW on the very low frequency of 17.2 kHz. It's especially significant this year since organisers reluctantly announced the cancellation of last year's scheduled message because of maintenance work needed on the nearly 100-year-old transmitter. The radio station welcomes QSLs and listener reports for this special holiday message by email, direct mail or the bureau. The email address is info@alexander.n.se. Meanwhile, to mark the event, amateur radio station SK6SAQ will be operating on three frequencies, using CW on 7.035 kHz or 14.035, or using SSB on 3.755 kHz. Hams and other radio listeners unable to be present in Sweden will not be left out, of course. The event will be broadcast live on YouTube as the message goes out at 0800 UTC or 9 a.m. local time in Sweden. You will, however, have to supply your own coffee and cake. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In New York, the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club believes there's no place like being with hams for the holidays. So they're hosting two events to celebrate the season. Here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
What better way to celebrate Christmas than a 12 Days of Christmas special event station? This special event starts on Friday, December 14th, and runs for, yes, 12 days, which would make it end on Christmas Day. Each day has its own special one-by-one call sign, like W2P is the Partridge in a Pear Tree Station, or the W2L Nine Ladies Dancing Station. Collect as many days as you want, and you can get a fabulous certificate if you work just one or more. And of course, you can go for the clean sweep of all 12. But if you do, that's a lot of birds. 184 to be exact. Lou Maggio, NO2C, tells us about how you can find this first-time offering of the extra special event.
These are all operators that are seasoned. We don't have any people doing this that have never done anything like it before. So we're kind of letting them pick the bands, pick the frequencies, and then they'll spot themselves. The way I usually do it, Sierra, Echo Sierra, and then 12 Days of Christmas. And that generally is enough to attract anyone that wants to get the certificate.
To get your certificate, you'll just need to upload your log in Cabrillo format after the event is over. But wait, there's more. On December 25th, there's an extra special event for those people like Lou and Newsline's own Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, who have birthdays on Christmas Day. Lou tells how the Christmas birthday special event started.
Karen and I were in the same club, and we happened to have a conversation one day and realized we were both born on Christmas. So we said, okay, let's take and do a special event on VHF on Christmas Day and see how many people check in. And quite a few people checked in. So we did it again the second year, and it was even more popular. So this year, because we had so much luck with HF special events, we said, well, let's do it on HF this time. So we figured we'll do it on the 25th. So anyone that actually has a birthday on the 25th, and that includes Christmas babies, Boxing Day babies, New Year's Eve baby, anybody that has a holiday-related birthday in and around the 25th, we're hoping we'll check in, and then they'll be able to download a certificate from our website commemorating the contact. And we're going to probably be on any frequency that ends 2.5, 3.825, 14.325 are the ones we're going to be calling on, and we will be spotting on the cluster also.
So listen for the 12 Days of Christmas stations starting on December 14th and for K2B on December 25th. Fire up those rigs, warm your hands to the glow of the amplifier, and have fun with these two special events. And from all of us here at Amateur Radio Newsline, we wish our editor, Karen, a very merry birthday. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K8SCI repeater in Brunswick, Ohio, on Sundays at 9 p.m. It's not unusual for one ham's transceiver to show up in another ham shack, one ham's antenna to find its way across the country to another ham who needed it, or even an old treasured straight key given away by someone who doesn't need it any longer. But a ham in Oklahoma and a ham in California recently learned they shared something entirely different, as Mike Askin, KE5CXP, explains.
On November 25, 2018, Mike Olson, NQ6C, and Roger Simpson, K5RKS, had a QSO on 17 meters at 1831 UTC using FT8 mode. Not long after, Mike received Roger's QSL card and something else, a second, older QSL card in the same envelope, which left Mike feeling as if he were looking into a mirror. Mike told Newsline in an email, quote, "The first QSL card on top had NQ6C, which was my call sign, but it wasn't one of my cards," end quote. Mike was assigned the call sign earlier this year And clearly, this QSL card went back much further in time than that. His temporary confusion ended when he looked at the other QSL card, the one from their recent contact, and saw that Roger had written at the very bottom, quote, "What a surprise to work my old call," unquote. It turns out Roger had been assigned the call sign in November of 1982 after passing his extra class exam at the FCC's San Francisco office. Mike, of course, had no clue about its history when it became his turn to be assigned the call sign in March. It's not every day you get to connect with your digital doppelganger. Now, says Mike, NQ6C has not just become a treasured call sign and QSL card, but a piece of personal history. And he might just have this card framed. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
The Young Ladies Radio League has just awarded three promising amateurs with scholarships to continue their studies, as we hear from Heather MB, KB3-TZD.
Readers of YL Harmonics, the official publication of the Young Ladies Radio League, were greeted by three smiling faces on the cover of the group's November-December issue. Jordan Mann, W1KXJ, Anna Veal, W0ANT, and Trina Broyce, KI6GZG. And they all have a good reason to smile. They've all been named YLRL scholarship winners, receiving gifts that honor three silent keys: Ethel Smith, K4LMB, Martha Wessel, K0EPE, and Mary Lou Brown, NM7N. Jordan is a computer science major at MIT and has been an intern at NASA. Anna, a graduate of the STEM High School in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, plans to study computer science at the University of Colorado. She's also a past winner of Amateur Radio Newsline's Young Ham of the Year Award. Trina, who is a doctoral candidate at Colorado Technical University, has two master's degrees and teaches online as an adjunct professor at Brigham Young University. Applications will be open soon for the 2019 scholarships and are due by April. For more information, check the website of the Foundation for Amateur Radio at farweb.org. Meanwhile, congratulations to this year's winners. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3-TZD.
In this week's World of DX, be listening for Ben DL6RAI, who is operating in Aruba as P4/DL6RAI. You can listen for him until the 27th of December on 160 and 80 meters QSL via Club Logs, OQRS, LOTW, or via his home call. In Curacao, Anders SM4KYN will be active as PJ2/SM4KYN through the 14th of January. Send QSLs direct to his home call. In Antarctica, Felix DL5XL is active again as DP1POL from the German research station Neumeier III until February 2019. He is operating mainly CW and digital mode. Send QSLs via DL1ZBEO, direct, or by the Bureau and on LOTW. Starting on the 26th of December, Chi 7L3PFH will be active as KH0TG from Tinian in the Mariana Islands, where she will be operating until the 1st of January. She will be operating CW and SSB on 160 through 20 meters, QSL direct to JL1UTS. We end this week's report with a story of some DXing that took a detour. For one ham in Australia, the childhood chase of a QSL card brought home a very unexpected message. Ed Durant, DD5LP, tells us that story.
In an interview recently with the Austrian state broadcaster ORF, Eric Mitchell, OE3EMB, shared the story of his pursuit of a QSL card back when he was a 16-year-old schoolboy. It happened in the early 1970s, during the Cold War, after he and a friend had become devoted shortwave listeners, starting first as broadcast DXers.
We would sit there and listen, and it was all Cold War blaring into the household at that time. Voice of America on one side, Radio Liberty on the other on the same side, and on the other sides, Radio Peace and Progress from Moscow and numerous other strong stations all around in Europe. Every day the postman would bring at least one QSL card for a while, because I had spent all my pocket money on stamps.
After getting their fill of pop and rock on pirate radio and receiving signals and QSL cards from China, Cuba and Russia, Eric and his friend looked elsewhere for more exciting and interesting reception reports.
Both of us became utility DXs. Normally, by law, it was somehow in the gray zone in Austria. It was de facto forbidden to listen in to phone calls, and we wouldn't do that.
Still, there were definite concerns outlined in the shortwave listening newsletters the boys received.
There were warnings in this newsletter not to send reception report to certain stations. Amongst them was Cable and Wireless London and Norddeich Radio in Germany.
One day by accident, however, he intercepted a conversation without knowing he was hearing the German Federal Intelligence Service and the UK's Secret Service, a shortwave exchange not meant for the public. Still, he and his friend wondered, since they get such beautiful QSL cards from Cable and Wireless in Central Africa and Liberia, why not London? So they sent their reception reports, but instead of getting a card, Eric's parents received a formal complaint. Officials from the Austrian Ministry of Transport and Telecommunications in Vienna had been contacted by officials in Germany and the UK. They warned Eric must stop listening or face confiscation of his radio equipment.
Only very much later I learned that these were the centers of radio communication in England and in Germany. There was the Secret Service guys checking everything and promoting a policy of intimidation.
Eric now spends his time on HF and he's pursuing QSL cards as a seasoned ham. He notes on his page on QRZ.com that his policy is ultra relaxed when it comes to QSL cards. People can send them or not. Just say hello to me the next time we meet on the bands, he writes. In case you're wondering, cards from shortwave listeners are always welcome too. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
We conclude this week's report on a personal note. The Amateur Radio Newsline team extends its deepest sympathies to our colleague Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, Timothy Goodrich, on the recent loss of his brother Marty Goodrich. Skeeter, all of your friends are wishing you peace and comfort at this difficult time. With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, AMSAT NA, the ARRL, the Austrian Broadcasting Corporation, ORF, CQ Magazine, the Gaston Gazette, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Southgate Amateur Radio Newsline, Ted Randall's QSL Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, the YLRL Harmonics Newsletter, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2018, all rights reserved.